Okay, and back with scientist John Bedini. We're talking about Royal Rife. Okay, John, let's go right ahead with the the journey tonight. Fascinating.
It's a fascinating journey. So if we go down to the yellow writing right underneath John Crane's pictures, we'll just do a little recap here. I told you about the front yard. I told you about the house. And right here I put it in print. To walk through John Crane's house was to walk through some kind of maze. Mm-hmm. Boxes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Things piled on tables. Dust. A half inch thick in some areas, rooms, and so on and so on here.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is the second paragraph there. See, John Crane was the true mentor of Rife. He actually believed that he knew all this stuff. And he could quote it. I mean, he could tell you, you know, X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
But Z was always left out. So the thing about this is that right here, John Crane was the true mentor of Rife. He understood everything Rife understood because Rife trained him. Well, I don't know, because he said Rife trained him. But yet, when it came to the lab, you know, the work and what Strecker was trying to do, it just didn't work out. But that's not that he didn't know. It's what he knew at that time. So to quote Crane precisely, Rife told me the secret to the machine, and I know how to build it. So we know Crane understood that the simple square wave generator would not cure anything. I got Crane to admit this to me when one day I asked him, why are you selling these simple square wave generators?
Mm-hmm.
Crane responded by saying, it works on some people, and that's good enough.
Huh.
And it was true. It worked on my aunt. It did not work on my other aunt. But it did work on my one aunt.
So 50-50?
Yeah. I would argue with him by telling him that the circuit diagram he was selling were not even functional. And then I would ask him why the circuits did not look anything like the real machine did that were sitting right in front of us. Crane would then just say, the square wave generator works better, and you will not cause any radio interference. So there's the key.
Hmm.
You see, Rife held an FCC license to work his machine.
Right.
For $2,000, anybody can go have the FCC look it up, and then they don't guarantee that. So we just didn't do it. Go ahead, he said, hook up the transmitter tube. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I hooked it up, and I dialed in the frequency, and it didn't kill anything in the incubator. Because Strecker examined that right after the treatment, you know, because he could tell, because that was his field.
Right.
So it still would not kill anything even after we got it fixed, and that was the AZ-58 machine. That's the one that John Crane and I forget the guy's name. It just skips my memory for a minute. But he was an electronics expert for the police department, and so we did all this. And then I think the thing that excited Dr. Strecker the most where the reports about the microscope, I quote him from my notes, and I have all the notes. I have talked to some people that bought John Crane's microscope, and they report that they can see things they've never seen before. They say they can get 5,000 out of the scope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Crane could have built this scope at the shop with the metalworking machines mm-hmm. we had, but he refused for some reason. So Strecker and I were forced to buy regular medical microscopes to study things that we could see.
Which magnified 5,000 power?
Yeah, 1,200 times.
Right.
You know, not much at all, just 1,000 times.
Okay.
Some of these things can be seen in Crane's lab notes that that now are on Stan Truman's site, of course, at Rife.org.
Right.
These are only a few notes Crane would carry around with him. The one set of papers that are missing contained all the research work done on the Risley prisms. And why, and of course we know what the Risley prisms were. They were those prisms that were counter-rotating underneath the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Rife chose to use them. Could it be that Rife knew more than he was telling all the medical people? I think so, because John Crane's comment to me in my lab notes, "You must modulate this virus with light to see it." Key, you must modulate this virus with light to see it. Remember?
Sure.
The light interferometer.
Got it.
It must become resonant with the light interference. Those were in the notes.
And when that happens, the organism began to fluoresce. Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, you must cause the light interference before the subject would appear. Then it could be seen in its own color.
But this normally you would not be able to see anything.
Right. You normally would just pass it by.
Right.
We're talking about interferometer or heterodyning. Using this process, one can change the phase of light, cancel certain frequency out, and add others to it, i.e. a special mixer for light. So see, there's two ways to look at this. So let's just go down a little bit more. And this is the whole story, and people can read this at their own leisure. But we want to get into the exciting things here. We want to get down.
Yeah, let's try and jump into it as soon as we can.
Yeah. We're going to go right now. Okay, so we're going to go down the bottom of the page.
How far down
to
the bottom?
Well, about almost to the bottom to where it says the AZ-5080 working MOPA transmitter.
Is that past the block tables?
Yeah, it's past the Rife machine must do all these fundamentals at one time. So 10-29-05, just past that. It's off to the left of the page.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, it says the AZ-5080 working
MOPA. Just look on the left side of the page for the date 10-29-05, and you'll find it. The AZ-5080 working MOPA MOPA transmitter.
Okay, now, how do we know that we have a real machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go to 11-01-05.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, now here's a real AZ-58 firing a beam at a piezoelectric crystal out in the on the bench. So go ahead and click on that one right there. It says a few experiments today.
That's the left-hand monitor. The two monitors there, left and right.
We're going to do both of them.
All right, click on the left one. That's a quick time. And it'll show you some video as well. Okay.
Yeah, now this is adjusting the AZ-58 to the resonant frequency of the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the crystal picks this up, you know you got it.
Oh, I see. So the crystal is being held and moved toward
exactly and
that
you can
plasma
see it on
gas.
The scope.
Right.
And then on the next one, I'm going to tune it for you.
Huh. Okay.
See?
Yep. All right, so we'll go back and click on the other monitor.
Yeah, so go back, click on the other monitor.
Okay, got that.
This is how you know you have a genuine Rife machine, whether or not it's putting out anything in that Fanatron.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, I'm going to put a copper shield there.
Right.
Goes right through it.
Huh.
Now I'm tuning it by hand here.
When you say tuning it, you're tuning the output of the machine?
No, I'm tuning the frequency input to resonate the crystal. This is how precise it is.
Okay.
See, it's very critical that you get to the correct frequency.
So you want to resonate the crystal. What happens when that occurs?
Then the virus explodes.
Okay, right. I see.
Okay, so now we're going to get out of here. And we're going to go down to these charts so you understand the charts.
Okay. All right, we'll do that in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Remember, all these little pieces of videotape are always on this page, so you can go through. And again, all of you who are interested in this, either lay people or scientists, you can look at this anytime you'd like. Thanks to John Bedini. We'll be back. Fascinating video on John Bedini's site. Bookmark the site. Okay, John, let's go down to, I guess, 11.
Right, we're going to go to Bactylus X, Jeff.
All right.
We're going to go to the chart. We're going to go to Bactylus X.
All right,
now, you'll see.
I'm not sure that's the first one on the left, Bacillus X. All right.
And you see Hoyland's measured frequencies from the 1934 Rife machine. Instrument.
Okay.
Rife number 4.
Right.
Okay, so right there is his measured frequency, 1.604.
Now, Hoyland was working for Rife at this time, and we can rely on his measurements as being accurate.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to see why.
All right.
Okay, now, his audio frequency mix was 21,275 in a sine wave. See?
Mm-hmm.
Now go click on the spectrum analysis, which is the blue picture on the right-hand side. Just click on that one, and it'll open up. And boy, look where that fundamental ends up. See the line drawn?
Yeah.
That's 1.6 megahertz.
Right there in the center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now if we go back, and we're going to show you just how precise this guy was, how close he was. B. coli rod, see, 417 kilohertz.
Mm-hmm.
There's the audio frequency, 8,020.
Now, when you say audio frequency for our listeners, does that mean?
That's the audio frequency input.
Okay.
To drive the gate oscillator that he had made.
Okay, I got it.
All you follow me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So, see here, the machine's output frequency is at 3.9 megahertz here.
That's on the far right of that second line of the chart.
It tells you the exact frequency because this was one of my costly experiments, Jeff. So if we click on that one,
look at
all the fundamentals.
Hmm.
But look what's showing up where the dotted line is with the star.
Huh.
See, it could have been any one of these.
I see.
You follow me?
Yeah, how are you going to pick?
Yeah, so now we'll go back, and we'll go to his next one, because we just want to prove here that what Hoyland said about the frequencies were correct.
All right, the next one is B. coli, a virus.
Yes. So you go click on the next spectrum analysis, and look what shows up.
Huh.
He is damn close each time.
Yeah.
So, with a gated frequency oscillator, Jeff, this would move, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It would move back and forth and actually cover it.
Mm-hmm. Would sweep.
Yeah. So any one of these that you click on, and I want to get to the real important part, but because I know that we don't have much time. But so anyway, they're there for your pleasure. Anybody can view it to prove to themselves that, and I did it. I did the experiments because this is the way I had to prove it to myself.
So these are the frequencies that Rife was using in 1934-35.
Yeah, the Hoyland
measured. And these were killing the organisms.
Yeah.
Now, Rife called a number of things. Well, I don't know if it was a number, but Streptothrix.
Yeah.
What is Streptothrix?
Yeah.
Is Streptococcus? Is it a group name for Streptococcus?
Yeah.
All right.
I think.
Okay, but, well, then you have tuberculosis, a frequency for killing that bacterium.
Just for the heck of it here, click on tuberculosis.
Okay.
Click on the spectrum analysis.
Right.
And see, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Real close.
See the big fundamentals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which one was it, see? But look at what shows up from Hoyland's measurements. Right, the dotted line right there is exactly on the frequency.
Wow, yeah.
So this guy was definitely hiding the frequencies by gaining the frequencies.
This guy being?
Hoyland.
Rife knew this.
Well, Rife didn't know it.
So how is this? So Hoyland was pulling a fast one on Rife for what reason?
Well, I'll tell you why. You're going to see here in a second.
This doesn't mean Rife wasn't successful with his work.
Oh, no. Rife was successful, but Rife's frequencies, Rife thought, were the fundamental.
Ah.
Hoyland discovered by working in Rife's lab how to get a whole new set of frequencies that kill them.
Hmm.
And these are Hoyland's frequencies.
Hmm.
And so I decided I got to test this. And this is what I'll do. I'll build this machine, and I'll put these frequencies in, and I'll modulate it through a gate, which is very hard to do in the AZ-58 because you have to change the circuitry in the cathode of that triode tube. So it's a difficult thing to do.
No, yeah.
But once you do it, this stuff just, bang, it's right there.
Wow.
So it's just now, Jeff. This is a good point, because now the only thing missing with the Fanatron tube is the amount of power that he had.
Many of the Rife frequencies that we all know, the lay people know about, are in hertz.
Yes.
Not megahertz, not...
Kilohertz.
Okay, there you go. So they're not megahertz. People need to know that.
Well, see, if you divide these by, and you'll find this on Stan Truman's site. If you divide this frequency by John Crane's formula, you end up with 2028 for cancer. Okay, and I'll show you what happens here.
Well, 727, those are pretty classic.
Yeah, those are Hoyland's frequency, see?
Oh.
And then we'll go down and we'll show you something here.
All right. Be right back with John Bedini. Join John Bedini and head on down to the next table.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
Okay, now, what we did in the next table is we used a square wave input. All right?
Right.
And see, if we go back to Bactylus X, here's Hoyland's given frequency.
Uh-huh.
And this is Hoyland's measured frequency.
Okay.
See, 1934.
Through a square wave generator, comes out 21,275 hertz.
Is the audio frequency. Now, where do you think the 2275 comes from? John Crane reduced the numbers.
Huh.
Okay. Now, if you go to the spectrum analysis, you see, it's lining up with the square wave. Pretty close.
It is.
Yes, it is. Seeing what Brett Nichols did here, the man that helped me with this, which I have to give him credit for, is he told you the percentage on the side of the chart that it's off.
Hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
On all these things. So people can look at these at their leisure. Jeff, what we want to get to is let's explode some viruses.
Okay.
We're back here. Let's just explode. But let's go down to 11805.
All right. That's the date on the left-hand side, 11-8 of 05. There we go.
Now, the AZ-58 modulated, fixed, modulated.
Mm-hmm.
The machine now can modulate. You follow me?
Right.
Where it couldn't do that with what John Crane was building.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The AZ-58 modulated with Hoyland's 21,275 hertz BX frequency.
Mm-hmm.
The 11,780 hertz, which is 11 megahertz, all right, is dead on. But the machine's carrier frequency must be calibrated exactly to do this.
Hmm.
Here's the picture. This is the picture. The doctors had to vary the frequency a little bit while they were treating the patients. It's all documented, Jeff.
Vary it how much? Would pulsing
back and forth with the dial a slight amount.
Would pulsing it work, or would it have to be varied?
Yes, that's why Hoyland put the gate frequency in there,
mm-hmm.
to pulse this. But the doctors didn't trust that, so they varied it anyway.
Hmm.
So see here, in this case, it was 4.4 megahertz.
Hmm.
And I say right here, this is probably why the doctors complained of having to recalibrate the machine all the time and often varied the frequencies around when using the machine.
Mm-hmm.
There's the answer right there.
Hmm.
And I proved that out by varying it around. So I did the same thing.
Right.
So let's go. We're going to the videos there on the next page.
Okay. Down the bottom and on the left, you'll see videos on the next page.
Yeah, so let's go down here. And this is why I'm saying that the BCX machine and a few other machines can do this. Because if I can do this using the same type of RF output that they're using,
mm-hmm.
and their machines are intermixing the frequencies,
right.
The only thing is that you must be close to what you're getting at. So here it is. Let's go to the first one, paramecium destroyed.
Okay.
And that should take a few seconds to load, but
right.
we want to watch this.
It's on your left. Point.
Yeah.
It's in blue. It says, see the videos.
Yeah.
And you made these?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did. I had everybody there under a whip until I got this.
All right, well, you can see them swimming, moving around.
Now watch the pulse come through.
Yeah,
and bang. They just explode.
Boy, that's in I can't even imagine how quickly that happens, but they're just mush.
Yeah, but watch that again. Go back.
Uh-huh.
And watch it again. And watch the wave that goes through the liquid.
Okay, hold on. So I can do this by hand. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yes, it's a sonic wave.
Huh.
See it?
Interesting.
It moves everything.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the next one.
A sonic wave.
Stunned, let's go. Stunned with RF only, but then disintegrated with 12 kilohertz audio modulation. Let's do that one.
All right. Stunned with RF only. RF is radio frequency.
Yes. And what does the BCX use?
Yeah, it's RF generated, sure.
Yeah. It's the only way to do this.
Yeah, and the manual, everything is in hertz.
Yes.
That's RF.
Mm-hmm. Well, in hertz is in cycles per second.
Right.
So watch this video. And boy, we got them there. We had to make a special setup on a microscope to get this.
Huh. What is the dark black line on the left?
Okay, that is on top of the slide. There's a wire that's on top of the slide
that's
carrying the signal.
Uh-huh. So it's coming off that wire. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, because we can't put the tube right there, see?
Right.
All right, now let's do that one again.
Okay.
And watch the wave. Bang. I stun them with the RF. That's just the radio frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So they slow down. And then I hit them with the audio. Watch.
Yeah, I'm watching it. There they go, slow. You know, I
stun them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I'm going to hit them.
Bang. Yeah, they're gone.
Yep. They're in pieces, see it?
Yeah, they are in pieces.
Yeah, and if we don't do it, we just keep dropping this stuff on the slide here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wanted these videos.
Mm.
You know, I wanted this stuff up on the internet because I wanted everybody to know that this stuff does exist. Okay, now, what I do here is I take a neon lamp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in series with the wire on top of the slide. And I still kill them. Watch. I just blow these things up.
That's the next video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty quick. It's a fast one.
Yeah.
And bang.
Okay, that's how you folks can kill living organisms with RF.
Right. Now, also, I've put up here, I show you some pictures of what this AZ is putting out for waves here in the top. And I guess you got a little break here coming up.
Yeah, I see. Very good. Okay, excellent. Back in a minute with John Bedini. Okay, an unprecedented look at the work of Royal Raymond Rife through the eyes and mind of John Bedini and his colleagues. So it is up there on the net, understandable now for the first time, really. I think a high school pre-med type or anybody with any kind of scientific background, anybody could get, I think, a good grasp of this, John, simply by following the way you put this together. And it's a marvel to see.
Well, it's something that I just had to do because I had to test all these things in my own mind, Jeff. And
I know you've been working on this for many years.
Oh, 22 years.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I had to come up with what I said here. The Abrams machine is nothing more. Let's talk a little bit about what the thing is that actually allows this to happen. Okay.
Okay.
The Abrams machine, or the oscilloclast, what it was termed, the oscilloclast, was nothing more than a set of induction coils. And what I mean by inductions coils, electromagnets, okay? And by breaking and making an arc with these electromagnets, you generate a high voltage. And us guys that work in that field with high voltages call it a potential. So, by beating that potential, by taking that potential and applying it to you, you charge, and then the charge slowly discharges out of your system to ground. And then the machine comes back. It's like a pendulum swinging back and forth, Jeff. Bang, you get hit with this potential, and then the pendulum starts to swing the other way, and the potential bleeds off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing this, you charge and discharge yourself, and at the same time, this DC potential contains all these frequencies in harmonics.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you'll just hit upon the one. It'll work. I mean, it has to work because you can see it show up on the spectrum analysis.
Right.
So whether the machine is real powerful or not as powerful as what Wright had,
kind of doesn't matter.
That then just takes a little more time.
Right.
In other words, you may end up taking an hour treatment in your experiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I've had people say, "Well, I can just drive a spike in a tree." And bring the wire from the tree.
Yeah.
And I can pulse that. And I said, "Yes, you can." I said, there's all kinds of ways to do this. You could take earth, you could take stuff from stubble field."
Yeah, which...
Yeah, and do the same thing.
Hmm.
These are all monumental people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are classics for working in a field, you know, and who knows what they went through, Jeff, with the ridicule and stuff.
Well, I know the way Stubblefield eventually died was just a shame. And
And then you take Tom Bearden, right, with all his books and everything, and we've already proven out that Tom Bearden, you know, 100 times is right, especially with the new books coming out now with all the circuits and everything, which I did give you a preview of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And, you know, that'll be available. I was told that that book will be available on the Tom Bearden website, you know, at the end of the month.
Good.
So I'll make sure that you get one of those.
Oh, I very much like one.
And along with the video, I think the video is going to be very important because that shows a lot, especially the work he did in the Meg. And, of course, Tom Bearden has always been one, you know, out on the far end. You know, and it's just something, I just can't believe that people just want to stay in that narrow path, Jeff, and never look to the side of the
fork. Well, most people do. I remember seeing one of Tom's original videotaped lectures, which had to be from the late 80s, on some of these advanced scalar weapons.
Uh-huh.
Talk about being ahead of the curve.
Well, that's another interferometer, Jeff.
Right.
You know, and I was going to point out something to you. If you wanted live demonstration of a scalar, of a interferometer working with sound, Gary and I have put up a website. In other words, we run a station on, I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not, live365.com.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, well, you just go there and type in Bedini Audio Spatial.
Mm-hmm.
And there's mono recordings that I go as far back as, some of them are from the 40s, you know, all the oldies. I do all the oldies that have been done with the interferometer, and I do all the 70s rock, the stuff that we actually grew up with, and then I do all the new age stuff.
What's it sound like? What's it?
Well, it's in 3D.
Wow.
It's 128 kilobit station on Live 365. And I point blank say on there, that I never run the interferometer, you know, in a high level. I just do the 3D, Jeff, and you'd be kind of amazed if you went listen to it. Because
I'll do it, yeah.
That's a real, you know, that's an ear opener.
Yeah.
All right? But Gary and I have been doing that for 2 years now. We've had that that up and running. And
gee, how dare you have any fun?
Well, you know, we got our audio customers and stuff like that. They want to see what you're doing, right?
Right.
And, of course, we were, you know, all the movies in the theater and everything used the base processor, which was the Bedini Audio Spatial. So movies like Star Trek used it, and Hunt for Red October, and Robo Boy, and plus all the country and western recordings that were done with that. You know, so we've been busy.
Yeah.
And I don't like to just sit around and do nothing.
And you'll never fall into that trap.
No, I will not, Jeff. And I know where the world's at, so I just I follow my path day in and day out. You see me do the same thing. When I get really bored, I build hot rods. And you can find those cars on some of the things. But I know it's coming to an end, Jeff. You know, we better look at powering our future by ourselves.
Right. That's true.
Because it's definitely going to go there.
Anything new on Stubblefield's work? You were doing a lot of research with
this. Well, what we're doing right now with Stubblefield is we're coming up with some earth batteries that are going to run what we call our radiant oscillators. Now, let me explain some about the radiant oscillators to you. You know, that's part of this book that's coming out. Radiant oscillator is radiant. In other words, it's an oscillator that's forced by itself at whatever particular frequency it wants to run. And so what we've developed is we can take solar panels in low light, in other words, no sun, and we can charge your batteries. So we've done that, and we filed patents and everything on that, like we filed on the monopole motors and things like that, so that we've licensed two of these products, Jeff. One is going to come out in a golf cart charger. Now, a normal golf cart can run maybe eight miles or something, right? And we can extend the mileage to 20 miles just by using that charger.
Neat.
Yeah, so the 1,500 watts that you would draw from the wall, right, now we can take and it only uses 400 watts to do the same thing the 1,800 watt charger is doing. Plus, it rebuilds your battery.
When will this be available?
It's available. It's going into production right now, and I'll send you all the information on it.
Very good.
And so the next thing was off-grid homes. Solar. And so we took the radiant oscillator from the golf chargers and we modified that and we said, gee, all these people got to buy thousands of dollars worth of panels, right? And then in 3 years they got to replace their batteries.
Right.
And we're saying, why should you replace the battery at all? You know, let's make it so the battery never gets hot, never overheats, doesn't boil away. And give it the same charge, if not more. So that's another one of the things that we're doing.
Terrific.
And I'm never going to stop, Jeff. That's the way you're going to find me at my bench.
Well, I don't think Stubblefield ever stopped either, did he?
No, he didn't. They just found him, you know, between those two toasty plates, and
that
was it.
What a strange story that was.
Yeah, but, you know, Jeff, in the generation that we came from, the way the schools were when we were growing up, is you could discuss this. If you had an idea, you weren't put down for it.
You were encouraged to discuss
it. Yeah, you were encouraged to do it for some strange reason.
Independent achievement, independent thought.
But I don't know what it is today.
It's hive, group.
I don't know.
Don't step out of line. Think of the group always. That's what they're teaching.
Well, there can't be any progress, Jeff.
Overachievers are ostracized like you wouldn't believe now. So,
you know, it's
kids
just,
have got to be tough.
I've been following some of it, but I'm just like, I just can't believe what's going on.
It is.
I can't understand why they don't want their country.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
we spend a lot of time talking about these things.
You know, I got to say that I really admire Alex Jones for what he's done.
He's a fearless patriot.
Well, he's right on.
He's got as much passionate about what he does as any 10 people, and he's extraordinary.
Well, I tell you what, he's got a gold star in my book.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean, he makes perfect sense, you know, to what he's saying.
He synthesizes all this crap and makes it easily graspable by anybody.
I know, Jeff.
John, thank you again for all you do, all you've done, and if you happen to talk to Bob Strecker, please extend my regards, and
okay.
Certainly to Tom as well, and we'll visit your site. It'll be up there, and we'll talk
okay,
again.
Jeff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Good night.
All right.
Scientist, researcher John Bedini. All right. Now you can take a look and see what Rife's work was really all about. And we do, again, invite you to go look at the BCX up under New Earth at the top of Rents.com. All right, we'll be off for 21 hours, at least on the radio. Be right back with you tomorrow night. In the meantime, we'll see you at Rents.com.